Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every one who is present here this morning. I believe that each and every one has a personal desire to become more educated about this topic. Lord, this topic has been in your word since the beginning, and yet we've been so deathly silent on it. And we've acted as though, Lord, that there aren't solutions, that there aren't answers, but you have not left us helpless. And so, Lord, while everything in your word tells us that this isn't part of your plan, we invite you to educate us and show us what your plan is for those who are struggling. Lord, I ask that the presence of the Holy Spirit will be here this morning. I ask that the blood of Jesus Christ will cover this building, that the blood will cover everyone in here, that the blood will cover me and protect me from evil, Lord. We ask that Satan and his angels, Lord, actually we demand that Satan and his angels and his demons be sent far, far away from this place, and that only the voice of the Holy Spirit can be heard. I thank you, Lord, for your redeeming blood, for your redeeming grace, and for your great, great love. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt like you were being judged? I sure did. I used to see people across the church denomination whispering and pointing and looking at me like I was some kind of freak. I didn't know why. I didn't know that I appeared to be so much different than the way they were. Today, unlike when I was a child, we're finally talking about it. Can you believe it? There are precious children in our church families, in our schools, and some who have exited the church doors. They've exited because what they are feeling is a great deep pain, and they don't seem to sense that anyone's willing to help them with this pain. Some of them are leaving with a rebellious spirit in that they can find a better way, and somehow God will just understand. Today, Coming Out Ministries is breaking that silence. Lives are changing because of the victory in Jesus. The focus that we're presenting every day this week is all that is possible through Jesus Christ. No matter what your sin temptation is, God has a solution. But do we believe in God's promises? Do we claim God's victory? Here in the main sanctuary at 9:30, every day, and at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, we are going to share the powerful testimonies of God's redeeming power. I have a question for you. Can you pray the gay away? Usually that's what the response is. We're not sure. It's a deathly silence. 2 years ago, Anderson Cooper, Oprah Winfrey, and Dr. Drew all had programs entitled, Can You Pray the Gay Away? Guess what the conclusion was? Nope. Nope. God can't do that. Really? Really? Do I serve an impotent Savior? What if it was that maybe what I was praying was all those years I was praying, God, please make me straight. Is that the solution? No? Because at that time, in a lot of our minds, that's what we thought. We just wanted to be normal, quote unquote. But what does Jesus want? Does he want something better than that? What he wants is for me to have an intimate, total reliance upon Jesus Christ, who has the solution, who has the answers. Prayer for me is the only way the gay is going to go away. I must put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, and he will not let me down. But I have a role in the process, and that's what we're going to talk about this week. It's not something that just happens overnight, and in the morning, it's all fixed. These are the things that we're going to talk about this week. For many years, I have felt that I have been judged. But I found another answer in that James 5:16 tells me, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can have the healing that is promised? Are we sharing with each other what our struggles and our afflictions are? Good for you. Not everyone is. Not everyone is. Why is that? We don't feel safe. And we don't feel safe. And so if we come around one another and involve ourselves in those that God directs us to, that we can share something that's on our heart, our brothers and sisters can begin to pray for us as we should be praying for them. Healing is possible. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why talk about homosexuality? If Jesus hasn't condemned us, isn't it important that we don't condemn each other? Stay with me here. We can still be Adventists. Some of you didn't get that. We need to become the family God intended us to be. We need to be talking to people about hope, about victory. How is it that homosexuality gets the crown? It's the thing that we're most unfamiliar with, the thing that we consider to be most disgusting that gets the crown. I want to talk to you today about loving without condemning, without condoning, without compromising the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus, his message, his ministry was all about the purest love there is. And yet what did they do to him? They crucified him. Do you think that Jesus would be accepted in the world today? What are we doing to become a peculiar people? John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. We haven't suffered particularly much in the way of persecution yet. You might wonder why that is. The spirit of prophecy has told me that we don't appear to be, as Christians, that much different than the rest of the people in the world. God is looking for his people. Are you committed to being more like Christ? Let's talk about loving. Loving in the way that Jesus does. Pointing people to him, to his truth, and to hope that is available through him. I did an interview with a gentleman here a few years ago. And after the interview, he said to me, Wayne, can you help me out here? I'm just wanting to know, how is it that gays got so much power anyway? And I said, well, I am pretty sure I can answer that question, but I'm not sure that you're going to like my response. You see, there isn't a day that I didn't know without same-sex attraction. That would take me all the way back down to being a primary, being in juniors, being an early teen, hitting the adult class, still no talk about same-sex attraction. And I'm dying inside through the process. I'm dying at the hands of the church. I'm dying at bullying from classmates at school. And so you have many people in our church today who are suffering because no one is tending to their needs or helping them realize that there's a way out of this situation. And many have exited the church doors, never to return. And they have gone to a like-minded body of people who have said, that's all right. You come right over here. I love you. I care about you. You're fine. You're family in the gay community. That church doesn't even care about you. And today, those would be your gay activists. Do you happen to see the role the church played in that? It's saddening. Today, we're here to talk to you about the fact that that can change. We have been ignorant. We've been ignorant because that's what the devil wanted us to become. But today, there's light, and every one of us are going to share about the light that Jesus Christ has provided for us. You see, if we fail to pour out God's love to every sinner, the momentum of sin increases. I know that there are some who claim that they won't be in heaven with anyone who used to be a homosexual. And I would dare to say that unless Jesus Christ changes their heart, they're probably right. God has invited us to be his caretakers for those who are hurting and who are in need of healing. That would be you and I. I'd like to draw a parallel this morning between the gift of the gospel and the talents as they are described in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. It's a priceless gift, but what are you doing with it? Jesus ministered to lepers and prostitutes and tax collectors. He asked us to model our lives after His. Many of us won't minister to anyone that we're uncomfortable with. What if that had been true about Jesus? I think about Mary Magdalene. Why did it take 7 times? I think it went something like this. I think that Jesus saw Mary one day and said, "Mary, you're so beautiful. I want you to come and hang out with me today. I'm going to do a little talking, a little sharing with some people. We're going to have a meal. We'll have something to drink together. Spend the day with me." And so Mary came along. And she listened intently all day. And at evening, as it was starting to get dark, she started to leave. And Jesus said, "Please, Mary, don't go back to those people. Don't go to those men." Mary said, "That's okay. This is my people. I'm fine. These people love me. They care about me. I'll see you, but thank you." The next day, Mary shows up again. And Jesus says, "Oh, Mary, you're looking more vibrant than yesterday. Come hang out with me. You have time today to spend with me. Come spend the day with me. Because once again, I'm going to share. We're going to talk and eat and have a great day together." And she does. And again, when the evening came, Jesus says, "Mary, please, please don't go back to those men." And she said, "Really, they're my people. It's okay. They love me. They care about me. I'm used to them." And every day this took place. Until one day, Mary came back and said, "I want Jesus." Because Jesus didn't condemn. All of a sudden, it was very clear to her that the non-condemning love of Jesus Christ, the righteous, pure love of Jesus Christ, was drawing her to Him. And she began to see that these men only wanted to abuse her. She couldn't see that in the early stages. But as we begin to cling to Jesus, as we begin to share Jesus' love with people, they have the opportunity to fall in love with Him. I pray that when our Creator comes, that He doesn't say to any one of us, "You wicked, lazy servant, you did nothing with the gift that I gave you." You see, humility doesn't come easy. Jesus is asking me today, and each of you, to humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Become meek in His service. And reach out with the love that He offers to people that have struggles different than your struggles. He's not going to let you down. Have you ever thought about what homophobia really is? Homophobia is not the disapproval of the gay culture as many gays would have you think, in my opinion. Homophobia is the refusal to reflect the love and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus sees value in us while we're still sinners. He wants me to look at others as He does, with an aching heart for that person who's suffering. He wants me to look beyond the sin. He wants me to see the hope He has in each and every one of us, that we can be a changed individual. So, if the opposite of homosexuality isn't heterosexuality, what is it? Ah, yes indeed. The opposite of any sin or sinful behavior is holiness. God is not inviting me today to become straight for that to be the solution. He's inviting me to partake of His holiness, which He will impart to me as I get to know Him more and more each day. A part of surrendering to Jesus, we find Jesus is inviting us to live in agreement with Him. Deciding to live for Jesus means divorcing ourselves from a worldview. Turn to Romans 6:20 if you happen to have your Bibles with you this morning. After reading several translations, I appreciate how the contemporary English version puts it. "When you were slaves to sin, you didn't have to please God. But what good did you receive from the things that you did?" All of you have to show for sure. All you have to show for them is your shame, and they lead to death. And verse 22 then says, Now you have been set free and you're slaves of God. This will make you holy and will lead you to eternal life. Transformation is possible right here on this earth. He promises us holiness. The same-sex attracted person is not being called to do anything different than God is calling every sinner to do. He doesn't discriminate between the murderer and the gossiper, the homosexual and the adulterer. Our job isn't to judge and convict people's hearts. Jesus has given us the privilege of drawing others to Him by reaching out to them. What does the reflection of Jesus Christ look like through us? Isn't God repulsed by all sin? Christian author Ellen White wrote this in The Signs of the Times. One sin unrepented of is enough to close the gates of heaven against you. It was because man could not be saved with one stain of sin upon him. One man with one stain of sin upon him that Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross. But she goes on to say in the Bible commentary, justification is a full, complete pardon of sin. Praise God. The moment a sinner accepts Christ by faith, that moment he is pardoned. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to him, and he is no more to doubt God's forgiving grace. There is a beauty in the word of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will have to lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. My life was about claiming what felt natural to me. What is natural to all of us? Sin is natural. What is unnatural? Jesus Christ. And so He's asking us to lay down our burdens, to deny ourselves, to come into agreement with Him, to come in agreement with His Word, to seek His ways instead of my ways. Today, people are equating their own knowledge with that of Jesus Christ as though they could figure it out for themselves. I have to look to Jesus. I hope that as you're listening this week, you'll witness that we have chosen God's way rather than that of our flesh that cries out for what's natural to us. Romans 6:19 says, just as you used to offer yourselves to slaves of impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Isn't it beautiful that God's so patient with us? He doesn't force us. He won't force a single one of us. And guess what? Satan can't force you either. Were you aware of that? We have been given the power of choice. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, while we were still breaking His heart, Christ died for us. Every one of us has partaken in the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. But you know what that bloodshed did? It purchased victory. It purchased freedom for me to claim, for you to claim. But you know how the claiming begins? It starts at the first sight of any temptation. Is it starting to sound like we're all in this together? Jesus is inviting us to surrender our lives to Him, to come into an agreement with Him. Today, I'm wanting to help you recognize that we are certainly all level at the foot of the cross. It takes work to claim this gift of victory. It's God's divine power combined with human effort. We have a part in the process. We do not serve a robotic God that is just going to go, Wayne, stop being homosexual. You've got to do it this way. There, now you're in the right place. It's much more loving than that. It's much more caring than that. His word, His commandments, His guidelines to us are just that. They're like guardrails to keep me falling off a cliff. But I didn't learn early in life about not falling off a cliff, but you know God is so patient and prayer is so powerful. You have no idea, or maybe you do. And if you do, I want to hear about your prayers. But I want to share with you, throughout this week, we will all share with you the power of prayer. My parents prayed for me for 40 years. All things are possible through Jesus Christ. We have been called to love and to support one another. Love with the love of Jesus that doesn't compromise His truth. There's a contingency of people today that are pushing against the principles of the church today that have an itchy ear message. They think that God's Word is antiquated, that it's not relevant, that somehow we can make do with our flesh and how we feel, and that somehow God will just understand, or will tell Him the way it really should have been. When He comes, certainly He will understand. No, because my heart is aching for people that are buying into this kind of gospel. Please, be very aware of anything you hear from me, from someone else. Come back to the Word of God and to see, is it in agreement with the Word of Jesus Christ? Is this what really Jesus had planned for us? Or is the truth right there in His Word? Because when I checked into this, I found that God says to us that we can trust Him because He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yep. We're having great difficulty today being invited to our denominational universities. All of us, with the exception of Danielle, who's still very young, spent our childhood desperately trying to figure out what is this? What is this mess I'm in that I didn't ask for? Where did this same-sex attraction come from? What do I do about it? And it took years, but that doesn't seem so long to God. And we're still fathoming, even this morning, how it is that God said, Ron Woolsey, Mike Carducci, Danielle Harrison, Wayne Blakely, I have chosen you to come and teach the church. I have pulled you from the gutter and I have put you in the pulpit so that you can express that I am the all-powerful, almighty God in charge of all things. And if you will surrender your lives to me, anything is possible through Jesus Christ. This is a message we were desperately hungry for when we were kids. And today we can't even get onto Adventist university campuses. Pray for us. Pray for your church leadership. Pray that both sides of the conversation can be heard, that someone can hear the redeeming message. We are in grave danger when we're equating our knowledge to that of God. I have to get my knowledge from His Word. I have to go by the Word, by what He tells me is possible, what is true, what is loving, that it's God's love, not my love. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to encourage you to go to God's Word for agreement, regardless of who you're listening to. For as long as I can remember, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about homosexuality. Why? I never understood. I was having the problem. It's in God's Word. Why can't we study it out? I was so lost and confused as a child. But you know, we've done this on a number of other topics as well. And so we're reaching out to you well beyond the scope of homosexuality. And we are talking to you about many other issues that are going unnoticed because we're just maybe not quite sure how to deal with them or because we're so embarrassed about them. There's room at the cross for everyone. What happens when we ignore sin issues? I believe that they fester. It leaves the sinner hopeless and helpless. It distances us from God, and we might even end up leaving God's family. We can't afford that because these are precious lives to Jesus Christ, and they should be precious lives to you and I. Redemption is possible. I want to challenge you to connect with Jesus through prayer, through fasting, through study, and take Jesus at His word. While time and culture changes, it's important for us to continue to remember that Jesus remains the same. The only place some people are comfortable regarding this topic is about reading about it, or watching the news, or having a very academic, intelligent viewpoint. But haven't we always known that homosexual practices are sin? If you are questioning that today, let me just provide you with a reminder. I don't want to overemphasize this, but I want you to be well aware of it, to contemplate this, especially if you have someone in your life who you love. Here's what I think that the enemy does. It wasn't too tough getting a hold of me. I had my feelings all wired for same-sex attraction due to a number of things that had occurred, which I'll be sharing with you later this week with my testimony in 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But Satan has me, had me. And then Satan reaches right behind us and tries to grab our parents, our brothers, our sisters, and says, unless you show love and appreciation and endorsement on what your son is doing, you really don't love him at all. This is swallowing up people in our congregations all across the world. The enemy is angry because for something that he booked on for so many years, people are popping out of the gay culture and saying, something's not quite right here. And they have an encounter with Jesus Christ and they find that redemption, change, is possible. It's not about going from gay to straight. It's about going from gay to what? Amen. And so everywhere in the Word of God that homosexuality is mentioned, it is always mentioned in a negative connotation. It is never mentioned anywhere in any way that shows that God would condone of such a relationship. Nowhere does God condone same-sex intimacy. Only marriage between a man and a woman is ordained and sanctified. There's not a single reference in God's Word for the foundation of a same-sex union. It is not marriage. It might be a union, but it is not marriage by God's definition. Wouldn't it be very uneasy and wouldn't we be on terribly shaky ground to proclaim that this is okay, that this is all right, to live this way, that somehow that our motives are pure and that we'll explain it somehow to God when He comes. Isn't that a very dangerous place to be? Lastly, physiology clarifies God's purpose, and I'm not even going to go there. You know, it was a short time after I was convicted in my heart by God, and I gave my life back over to Him, that I read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And it says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty inclusive group of people. And yet what? That is what some of you were. That tells me that change is possible. Redemption is possible. It says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We can't share what we don't have. So I want to engage you today in developing an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Is prayer in the morning and the evening, is that enough? No. Studying the Sabbath school lesson every day, that's getting pretty inclusive now, isn't it? How about just doing daily devotions and that prayer together? Wow. What does it take? God has not asked you to come and visit Him once a week in His sanctuary. He's invited you to follow Him, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, every moment of every day. I'm not safe for a moment without Jesus Christ. So am I cured? What's the secret? Am I still tempted? You might be sitting there thinking, how can I get my son or my daughter, my brother or my sister, my friend, to stop experiencing same-sex attraction? Sin afflictions and temptations are different for everyone. How do you make somebody stop loving chocolate cake? How do you make somebody stop feeling like they have to see every sports game that comes on so that they're prepared on Monday morning to tell all their cronies what all the scores were and what their opinion is about all those guys that were running around the field chasing that ball everywhere? Or every cooking show that comes on that you just have to see. Or anything that distracts you from spending time with Jesus Christ. I would guess that you won't know what God's plan for you is unless you start spending the quality time with Him. I found that it's not so much about me, it's about Jesus Christ. We don't all have the same temptation. So what's the cure? There are those who come to listen to me speak, listen to the rest of us speak, waiting for that magic button, just waiting to get their finger on what it is that's going to change all of this, to get us out of this nightmare of same-sex attraction and these gays and the problems with our sons and our daughters and mothers and fathers and what all. You're expecting a secret solution that will be revealed. Well, here it is. Do you know what the magic button is? Jesus. A constant, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. The cure is the same for every sin and for every sinner. To abide in Jesus. To submit your will to Him. But what does abide actually mean? And so I went and I looked it up. In Webster's dictionary. To endure without yielding. Oh, but I thought I'm really weak. To bear patiently, I'm not a patient man. To accept without objection. Oh, but I object. To remain stable or in a fixed state. Me? Wayne Blakely? Is it impossible? It is impossible without Jesus. But with Jesus, all things are possible. And the rewards are immeasurable. Do you know what my identity in Jesus Christ is today? I'm a gay Adventist, right? Okay, I'm a gay Christian, right? No? Well, according to the world, I would be. Isn't that good enough for God? 2 Corinthians 5:17 told me, I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I want to share with you one of the most beautiful quotes written by Ellen White. Those who become new creatures, become what? Ah, yes. New creatures in Jesus Christ will bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, as found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Did you notice that reference to long-suffering? Are the streets of gold not on this earth? They're only in heaven. They will no longer fashion themselves according to the former lust, but by the faith of the Son of God, they will follow in His steps, reflect His character, and purify themselves even as He is pure. The things they once hated, they now love, and the things that they once loved, they hate. There is no evidence of genuine repentance unless it works reformation. The loveliness of the character of Christ will be seen in His followers. If we abide in Christ, the love of God dwells in us. Our feelings, our thoughts, our purposes, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God as expressed in the precepts of His holy law. This is the abiding that brings change, as far as I can see. This is transformation, and it's transformation that begins here on earth, not just at the second coming. James 4:7 says, to submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do what? Resist. Oh, you are not very good Adventists. You did what I've done for so many years. You see, we have to go back to the beginning of the verse. If I don't submit myself to Jesus Christ, I have no power to resist at all. I have to submit myself to Jesus Christ and to His ways, to His power, to His strength. So what do we do with the temptation? We have a part in the process. We have to submit ourselves to God. The only way to overcome sin today is to stay in an unbroken relationship with Jesus Christ, continually abiding in Him. Do we love the way Jesus loves? Returning souls have been wrought under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Please don't destroy the work of the Holy Spirit. We should never be led to believe that these are people who have given their lives to Christ, like they've just been released from prison, and that now they're on probation, and that you and I are their probation officers. Don't spoil the influence and the conviction of the Holy Spirit with your skepticism or your condemnation. The work has just begun. These are new babes in Christ Jesus. Nurture them like the returning prodigal. Be joyful. Celebrate in the way that Jesus does when someone returns to Him. All right, so let's check out my redemption, because your burning question from you to me is going to be, so Wayne, do you think you'll marry? Do you have a girlfriend? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any proof on my arm today. Is proof of my redemption in marriage or having a girlfriend? Oh, good to know. Because I'm willing to bet that there are some of you sitting out there today who are married who are going to tell me that marriage isn't necessarily the antidote to sin. Okay, just clarifying that. You see, it goes back to, we can't share what we don't have. I need an intimate relationship with Jesus. If Jesus wants me to fall in love with a woman, He will put that woman in front of me to fall in love with, and I will seek to do His will instead of my own will, but I'm not going to do it just for your satisfaction. That is barring the door to the church for many people who think that the answer about being gay is to become straight. The answer is to become the child of God that God intended you to become. Because there are a lot of straight heterosexual individuals who are still looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, who still haven't found them, but they remain grounded in Jesus Christ. Encourage that person to commune with Jesus, to get to know Jesus, and to stay in love with Jesus. So how can we reach out? I want to assure you that prayer is still the most powerful tool there is. And I'm running a little short on time, but I think I can probably go over by just a few minutes. I'm not seeing anyone here pressing for the next conference just yet, but I want to share something with you briefly. I want to challenge you to learn to reach out. How big is that hedge or that concrete wall in your driveway between you and the same-sex couple that lives next door? How quickly do you rush in so that, oh, you don't have to say anything to them because they're living in sin, man? I have a challenge for you. I want you to go knock on their door and invite them to dinner. Oh! What? Wayne, do you know what you just said? We can't associate with those people. Those people. Those people are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. I want you to invite them to dinner. And when you have the table all nicely set and you're all prepared for the evening meal and your conversation, please don't put the Bible on the end of the dinner table as though you're going to hit them over the head with every reference to homosexuality that's in God's Word. Please don't do that. Please stop visualizing what goes on behind their bedroom door. Please engage in conversation with them, like, what kind of work do you do? What are your hobbies? Remember, they're people like you and I that have personalities with something that has maybe caused some separation between them and their Savior. But God will work that out if you'll let Him use you as the tool He intends you to be. Remember, conviction belongs to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Okay, Wayne, we got through that. Okay. 2 weeks later, I want you to do something else. What are you doing this evening? We'd like to have you come back for dinner. Oh, Wayne, come on. We already did what you told us to do. We let the Holy Spirit use us. We're done. Really? I thought it was the work of a lifetime. Invite them back. Don't be so surprised if one, if not both of them, says to you, aren't you Christian? Because they're not used to seeing you behave as God intended you to represent Him. With the love of Jesus, not with condemnation. Don't be so surprised if somewhere in the relationship that you're beginning to develop, that they say, well, you know that we're a gay couple and you're Christian, so what are your viewpoints on this? Oh, don't just launch right into it and start clobbering them. Ask them, are you really, Do you want to know? Would you be interested in getting together and studying this out through God's Word and seeing how God loves each and every one of us and what was His perfect plan and how Satan has gotten in the way with his deception? But God knows that we get off track and He can bring us back if we're seeking Him. Are you interested in this? Could we pray and study together? Would that be something you would be interested in doing? Woo, people, now you're listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to open the door. Take baby steps into it. When you see a little resistance, back off. If that conversation is brought up again by your neighbors or you continue to be friendly and loving towards them and you engage with them, remember, this is not that much different than helping someone come to find that Sabbath is God's day rather than Sunday. It's a process. And in the process, you're caring about the individuals that you're seeking to bring to Jesus Christ. I'm going to move right to the very end here, so please excuse all the clicking. Have you heard anything this morning that has maybe caused you to examine your own heart? Is there something between you and Jesus that you don't think that He can really handle? Because it's just too near and dear to you. It's become your cherished sin. Do you want that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Because I assure you, it's available to you. He loves you so dearly, so much. Are you letting Him love you? Are you letting Him touch your heart? Are you letting Him bring you to your knees to say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Reveal yourself to me. Show me the way. I don't know how to do this, but I'm giving this to you. It's yours. Now help me make the right decisions to remain in agreement with you. Do you want the victory? Jesus already paid for it. It is yours. All you have to do is reach out and claim it, because there is victory through Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, many have come here this morning with all kinds of things on their hearts and frustrations and struggles that they deal with. And perhaps this is one of them and maybe not. Or they know someone who is struggling, Lord, and they want to be used by You. Many people are coming to find out the tools that they can utilize. What can they do to reach out to someone they love to help show them Jesus? Put it in their hearts, I pray, Lord. Put it in each of our hearts. To be surrendered to You, to be submitted to You, and to listen to the Holy Spirit lead and guide us in ways that would glorify You, that would honor You, that would reflect the love of Jesus Christ, that changes people's hearts and lives. You haven't left us alone. You haven't tricked us. You haven't abandoned us, Lord. We are precious in Your sight. You love us dearly. I pray for that person or those persons who are surrendering in their hearts to You right now. Whatever they are giving to You, Lord, I'm asking You to take it from them. Take this sin away and give them Your righteousness, Your power, Your strength, Your endurance that You provide me, Lord, each and every day. And I thank You and I praise You, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.